206 DGS. Did you see the fine that Russia hit Google with?
No.
It's not made up. $20 billion trillion trillion. That is 20 with 36 zeros.
Nice.
More than all the wealth on Earth.
Yeah.
And that's what we owe them?
That's what Google owes Russia.
Well, oh, okay.
What did Google do?
Not even sure. Not even sure.
They allowed people to put news stories on there that are real?
I guess. Yeah. That crazy.
You know, have you guys seen the, I don't know if the right way, what the right way to put it is, reports or the analyses that actually think that Putin might be the richest man on Earth?
Oh, I've seen that. He's like $500 billion.
Yeah.
I have a couple of friends who are super into things like that. They're not quite like flat Earth level, but they're super into the conspiracy theories. And that's one that they kind of convinced me that it could be real. I mean,
yeah, I don't know for sure. I mean, but like,
if you're taking all of your country's resources.
Yeah. And I mean, from a legitimate documentary, not from anything that I just found on YouTube. But from a real one that, you know, normal historians did, he kind of got his start as I want to say it was he was like the bag man for the mayor of St. Petersburg, not Florida.
Yeah.
And what he ended up doing is getting in control of money and then getting in with the oligarchs and
That'll do it.
I don't know. I mean, nobody knows for sure because it's not like he gets a salary, right? He doesn't hold stocks.
Sure takes his shirt off like the richest man in the world.
I mean, rides bears too.
Razor's Edge?
Yes. So I saw something fun on Reddit and I thought we could make a little game of it.
Okay.
Like games. So people getting off of the plane in Hawaii, what normally happens?
When they get a lay.
Yes, they get a lay. Now, let's say this same tradition applied to the rest of the United States. What would each state immediately give to their visitors? So I have some answers here. Okay. I want you guys to try to guess which state it is by the answers.
By the way, can I say this? When I saw the Brady Bunch get delay put around their neck when they were in Hawaii, I thought it was the fanciest, richest guy thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's the real airport or if they built one or what, but that airport looks so luxurious that they go to.
Yeah.
Airports were kind of like luxurious back in the day, though.
Yeah, more than
planes
now.
And airports,
Okay, so the first state, you're getting cheese curds as soon as you get off the plane.
Wisconsin.
Okay, what about a baked potato?
Idaho.
Also Wisconsin.
Maple syrup.
Yeah, they just load you up in Wisconsin.
Is that Vermont?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Beads.
Beads.
New Orleans, beads. Louisiana.
Uh-huh. Ah, good one.
Mm-hmm. A barbecue sandwich and a firearm permit.
Missouri.
Kansas or Missouri?
Right here, Missouri.
No, this is, someone says North Carolina.
Oh.
I guess I don't
There's
know.
There's a lot of barbecue places, though. That could be Texas.
Guns
it could
and barbecue
be,
could
yeah.
be a lot of places.
Southern leaning city, really.
Okay, you'd get a who invited this guy, a pork roll, egg, and cheese bagel.
Maybe New York or Pennsylvania?
Mm-mm, but you're close.
I'm stumped.
Massachusetts.
Jersey.
New Jersey. Let's see.
I figured you'd get a gold chain.
This one's easy. You'd get a Book of Mormon.
Utah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. A little container of Old Bay.
Maine.
Maryland.
Mm. Correct. Maryland.
Crab cakes.
We do crab cakes and football.
Okay, I like this one. This could be many states, but it says in this state you'd get a Busch Light and a Casey's Pizza. That could be Illinois.
Yeah.
Is it not Illinois?
It's not. It's Iowa.
Iowa. All right.
Illinois, it says it would be an ear of corn and a handful of soybeans.
Yes, please.
That sucks.
Your guys have some beans.
Don't mind if I do.
It says, but if you're actually flying to Chicago, it'd be a broken lawn chair and a Chicago hot dog. Broken lawn chair, I don't understand. I'm not a Chicagoan.
I don't get it either.
I don't either.
Must be because it's trash up there.
Oh, shots fired.
Shots fired.
Let's see. How about a bagel with cream cheese?
New York City.
Okay, this is getting kind of boring. So what if
we... Why are we... We're going to be wearing all these things? Or
I could have done all 50 states. I really like this game.
Yeah. Okay, we can keep going. This is what you get when you... What you're handed when you get off the plane in this state. Okay, jean shorts.
California?
No.
Alabama.
Arkansas.
Hey!
How about a gun, a welfare check, and an unwanted pregnancy?
That's good lord!
Damn.
Missouri.
No.
That's got to be
Mississippi.
Alabama.
It is Mississippi. This is according to Reddit. Just disclaimer out there.
Good Lord. That's hardcore.
How about a vanity license plate?
California.
Cali.
It says Virginia.
Oh.
So I don't know what's going on in Virginia.
Maybe they do that, huh?
I wonder if that's like a... It's funny hearing these and being like, I bet that really hits if you're from Virginia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the people in Virginia are like, no kidding.
Tater tot hot dish. Where do you think this is coming from?
I don't know. Best place on earth?
A hot dish is like a casserole, kind of, I think. I think. I could be wrong.
Ohio.
No, that could be Pennsylvania.
They say it's Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
Minnesota. A ticket for a minor traffic violation or a bottle of Jack Daniels so they could
Kentucky.
Get you
in.
Close. Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. That's right. It's not from Kentucky.
Okay, so these are probably the best answers we've been through already. What do you think we should hand people when they get off the plane at Lambert? Besides the obvious is like a toasted ravioli, gooey butter cake. But what are you really getting when you're coming to St. Louis?
So we're doing this for Missouri or for St. Louis?
Well, let's keep it St. Louis focused.
All right.
A piece of paper that says, we know, we're sorry, we're working on it.
Andrew's taking no prisoners today.
Yeah, he's just letting her rip.
Look, we got a gut. We're working on it.
A little sign that just says, pardon our dust.
We're under construction.
Look, it's better if you live here. It sucks to visit. It's better if you live here. Have fun.
How about a signed baseball from Ozzie Smith?
Every little boy's dream.
And a piece of, and an Emo's pizza.
That's nice.
I was going to say, like, Cardinals tickets. Or maybe a map to get to, like, you know, Forest Park, the zoo.
What do you think is
places to avoid?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this reminds me. I saw a video. This ties into this. But I saw a video maybe a few days ago that was done for the Canadian Broadcast Company the year the Blues were an expansion team. So basically it was explaining St. Louis to Canadians because this is welcoming St. Louis to the NHL.
Yeah.
And the things that they highlighted as the top things about St. Louis are still the things that we talk about.
Really?
It was the Science Center, the zoo, the Cardinals, the arch, and that was
progress.
I mean, it was like, I was so sad when I heard it. It's like, that's exactly what we highlight now. There's nothing new since then that would be featured.
I don't know. People go crazy.
Oh, and Forest Park. They mentioned Forest Park in there, too.
People love the new soccer team. I mean, that's usually front and center whenever it's like on social media lately.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question because I feel like another way that you could ask that is just to ask, like, what do you think is the best of us? Like, if you had to, and we've all been in the position where you've got people coming in from out of town and you're like, well, I'd like to impress them. I'd like to show them the best part of St. Louis. But what is the best part of St. Louis?
Okay, let's say you have to pick three things. I would take them to botanical gardens.
Oh,
I would take them to the zoo.
Very good.
And we'd have dinner on the hill.
Nice.
That's totally fair.
Yeah. I would do, it depends on the time of year, but I would definitely do a Cardinals game.
And if I could only do one thing, I'd take a Meeside.
I would probably try and add City Museum in there somewhere with the explanation to them that I won't be able to participate in any of the things that I'm taking them to in City Museum, but they can have fun.
Yeah.
You don't let the kids come to you like when you're trick-or-treating?
I can't fit through any of the caves anymore.
Aw.
I'm not asking this as a...
stairs there, man. It's a mess.
I don't think I've ever been to City Museum without kids. Is that a thing that adults would do without kids?
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still fun. It's still made for
adults. I had fun, but I was also like, you know, running around with
really
my kid or whatever.
They have a really great bar there.
Yeah.
That's
it
lot.
Is
all
cool.
Right.
There
yeah.
you go.
Like built into the tree.
Then we should go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go hang out.
Yeah, Lally was on me trying to get me to go this week because it's all Halloweened out.
Oh,
fun.
So I bet that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We also need to go to the Campbell House.
You like climbing? We could climb up to the top.
The Campbell House when they're on the show the other day.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't mind doing that tomorrow.
Let's go.
Well, show's off tomorrow. Going to the Campbell House.
See you guys.
It's going to take us 4 hours to get around that place.
We're wasted at the City Museum.
I like your idea, Dave, of picking like the top three things. I did that on my show a couple weeks ago. It was like, what's your ultimate day in St. Louis? I just ripped that off of, I think, St. Louis Mag. No, the Post-Dispatch did it.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of people in town say, like, what is your ultimate day in St. Louis?
Maybe
what are you doing?
Maybe we should ask John Hamm that.
That's a really great question.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. Cool.
There you go.
Providing
ripping
content
off Razor's Edge.
For Camel X.
Ripping off Razor's Edge. They ripped off somebody else.
All right, Thursday on DGS, Dave and Rach just took off. They're quitting the show.
Yeah.
They'll be back. They'll be back. They'll be back. They're taking off to go meet up with and interview John Hamm, which will be a part of the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I guess, it's okay that the two of them would rather be with John Hamm than be with you and I.
I'm pretty upset about it, if I'm honest. Yeah, I didn't tell them. I didn't want
You felt bad that they chose John Hamm over you and me?
Yeah.
I don't. It's fine. I'd choose John Hamm over me, too.
I would probably choose John Hamm over you as well.
No, you know what's funny? He's like, I get this question from time to time about, you know, meeting or interviewing famous people, and you run into them, you know, like, mm-hmm. which ones make an impact on you. And it's weird because, like, yeah, I think it would be cool to interview. It's always cool when you get to interview somebody that's outside of what you normally run into, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the cool thing. Like, so sports stuff I've been doing for a long time. So I've interviewed a lot of people in sports that, you know, and the only ones that were like, oh, man, I'm nervous or excited were the ones that were from generations before me,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, to me, for my generation, I grew up watching guys like Ozzie Smith play. So it's not weird to me to interview them.
Yeah.
But the people that came before that, so at first, right, the first time I interviewed Lou Brock, I'm like, oh my God, it's Lou Brock.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like because I didn't have the same familiarity, right? They were just because the people that come before, whether it's music, movie stars, whatever, they're not your people. Mm-hmm. Right? They're just legends. You grow up, like, I think the only time I was legit nervous for an interview was when I was really new in radio.
Yeah.
And this was probably late 90s, and somebody got Gordie Howe on the phone for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keeping in mind that, like, growing up there, that's like Gordie Howe is to Detroit what Stan Musial is to St. Louis.
Okay.
And, you know, just like an all-time great, this legendary presence. And it's my dad's generation, which when you're a kid gives it more weight, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So when you grow up, like I think your dad's legends are a little bit bigger to you in the sense that they're almost gods, right? They're mm-hmm. they're before anything was real.
Because your dad's a legend, and he talks about them like they're legends,
right? And you never saw them; you only know the legend, right? You don't know, oh yeah, that guy had bad games too. You only know the legend. So those were the ones that were harder, but the fun ones are always the ones where you get to branch out, where you get to get the opportunity to talk to someone like, for example, just like someone like John Hamm as a sports guy. Those kind of things are fun because you get to do that. And I was thinking about it. I think I might be the only sports guy in St. Louis that's never interviewed John Hamm.
Could be about like blues related stuff.
Blues or mm-hmm. yeah, especially blues. And the timing was weird, right? Because, you know, I was the blues guy before the Blues won the cup. But in that time frame when they were winning the cup, that's when everybody was calling John Hamm, right? That's when, like, hey, you want to talk blues? And he's at all the games because obviously they were exciting. So I was not doing that. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time to be making those calls. But that kind of stuff is fun. It's why I like talking to comics. I really like talking to people from like the rock world. Like I know it's not possible anymore.
What's not possible?
He's no longer with us. But like if I had ever had the chance when he was alive to go to talk to Eddie Van Halen, I might have been Chris Farley. I might have been. Remember that time you guys were in Van Halen?
I don't think he knew he wasn't alive anymore.
That was awesome.
When did he die?
Well, several years ago, quite a few years ago. Yeah, yeah. He had cancer, but like that kind of, but it's because they were the gods of my childhood, right?
Yeah.
Like anything newer is not going to be as crazy. And I don't know. I don't think it's just me. I think that's a normal thing for people that are in the interviewing business.
Mm.
Like I couldn't care less about interview. It would not make me nervous at all to interview whoever at any given point is the president of the United States. Like, that would not be, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, no.
Wouldn't bother you at all?
Hope I don't screw it up. No, not at all.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter who it is. I would not be like, I hope I don't screw this up. But I would feel that way if I was talking to Eddie Van Halen when he was alive. And I would feel that way when you're talking about people like, you know, I met Stan, but I never interviewed Stan.
Yeah.
You know, by the time I moved to town, you know, there just weren't that many, you didn't have that many interactions. I mean, I'd see him at the ballpark and you'd say hello and, you know, you get a fun little story here and there, but it wasn't
really, that's cool.
But it wasn't like a formal thing where you'd sit down and have the long discussion. It just wasn't that way.
Uh-huh.
For me at that time, I mean, and probably because I was a new guy and I was like, I don't know if I want to ask.
Yeah. No,
I'm not usually shy, but I think that that's kind of when you get that opportunity to do something that is bigger, something that has somebody that's created something before. Like if I got to interview when he was alive, George Carlin, I would probably lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel like such an idiot. I feel like I'd be asking dumb questions. But I could talk to anybody that's active now, no matter how big, and it's not the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. No, it does. You want the you don't want the guy that refined the thing. You want the guy that made.
Well, it's not even that. It's just it's a psychological thing, right? Like, so when you're a kid, this is a sports thing, but I think this is a music thing. We talk about this all the time. Dave brings it up all the time. How people get to a point in their lives where they stop getting into new music.
Yeah.
Well, but that's because the stuff when you were young made such an impression on you. That's where you lock in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a similar psychological thing. You know, people, there are a lot of people here in St. Louis that are just, they just want to talk about Whitey Ball and they want to bring Whitey Ball back.
Yeah.
But it's because when you're young, everything seems bigger than it actually is. And I think that when you get the impressions of those people that came in generations from before, they're not just people, they're gods. It's Thursday on DGS. Kevin Wheeler sitting here with Andrew. Andrew Stolz. I don't know why I said I full name. Everybody knows our names. It's Wheels and it's Andrew sitting here waiting for Dave and Rage to come back. They're off getting ready to interview John Hamm. And by the way, just so you know, not really much is going to change here. We're going to talk some baseball with Derek Gould in a second. Top of the hour, we're getting right into our Halloween programming for today, which is our listener stories. And they're all brand new. They're very good. So those are coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, normal 4 o'clock hour, as we always do it. As I tease, my buddy Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch, kind enough to join us. Lots to do as far as just kind of setting up the off season. Derek, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. I've now realized that maybe I don't know if I rise to the occasion of all the names you just dropped, but thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, you know, your only names you're worried about are me and Andrew. And you fit in real nice with us. So you're all good. In fact, you rank ahead of us, so welcome to the air. So obviously a lot to do. In fact, if anybody out there listening has missed it, we talked for about, 90 minutes total through two parts on the best podcast in baseball last week. So wherever anybody gets their podcast, they can go seek that out if they want the 90-minute version of what we're going to try to do here in about 12 minutes.
right, yeah. Well, I'll do my best to keep it brief.
There's no way we're going to do it, but the longer version is there. But what we got today, Derek, in the news that the team is not picking up the options on Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, and Keenan Middleton is kind of a jumping-off point for where we started off and things we talked about during the podcast about these being indicators of what they're thinking, easy ways to reduce payroll, right? I mean, these guys combined made $27, $28 million in 2024. It would have been a little bit more than that for next year, but the point is I'm only looking at what you're subtracting from 2024, not what would have theoretically been there in 2025. So you're obviously taking a step back there. Do we learn anything beyond that to you about where this offseason's headed now that it's here?
My feeling and how I've tried to present it is that the Kyle Gibson option was going to be the most significant litmus test. I mean, with the other two, there were injuries, there were performance or whatever. You were like, okay, well, that's a baseball decision, and they could explain it that way.
Right.
With Kyle Gibson, it's a little harder to completely explain it as a baseball decision, right? Like, baseball decision, he's very valuable part of a rotation. He, behind the scenes, though I hope it wasn't much behind the scenes for people who read the covers, how important he was as a leader to that team. Things that he did, things that he got involved in. I mean, you want to expand it to how involved he is in the community here. There's a lot of reasons why he would fit with the Cardinals, even if they're bending young, which they are. And at his price point, there's also what you and I discussed and is a reality out there is you bring him back, and if you're not the team that's in the race, then you know what usually gets a lot of attention and gets some return at the trade deadline? A healthy veteran pitcher who can provide innings. Look at what the Dodgers needed just to survive to go and win a World Series. They needed to add pitching. Another team will inevitably do that. This move speaks to the fact that the Cardinals see a chance to reduce cost And, you know, there also might be, though I haven't had a chance to confirm this, but, it's something that's on my mind. They also may have done him a solid, right?
Right.
By not bringing him back.
That's right.
And then trading him. Now he gets a chance to choose where he goes next. That might have been, like, if you're looking for the nod to what he gave them this past year, that's where it is.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this, too, because you're right. You always have that option. Whether it's picking up the option and trading him this offseason, right? I mean, it wouldn't necessarily have to wait until July. It could be done anytime, right? You got that choice, but what this does is, number one, in the short term, gives you an absolute. You know you're not on the hook for that money, as opposed to you might still end up being on the hook for that money, which could impact other things. I would also frame it this way, or ask you this way, if this is a correct way to frame it, that if you're looking to create opportunities, currently there aren't that many for starting pitchers, because Sonny Gray, and now these things can change, right? These things could change with trades in the offseason, but currently Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Steven Matz, and Miles Mikolas are under contract and on the team, and that doesn't count the young guys that you want to look at, like McGreevy and Graceffo and Thompson, and eventually Quinn Matthews and Tink Hentz and guys like that. So if you keep him and you're maybe going to trade him in July, do you diminish what you'll be able to create in terms of opportunity for other guys if you do that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you do, because there are only so many innings to go around. But I've yet to meet a team that has enough starting pitching. I just haven't.
No, that's the truth. Yeah.
I've yet to see that. There's always opportunity.
Yeah, I left out a part of the...
It always seems that way.
I left out a part of the framework I wanted to include in all that. Considering that this season is not being framed the way previous seasons have been, like, we're going for it.
Right. And that's maybe where I have to get my thinking around, right?
Yeah,
but
Even then,
you're introducing youth and inexperience at a role that is already volatile and only invites more volatility. If you think that, like, they're clearing a spot for the rotation that is going to go to 30 starts to a young guy, that's just not very unlikely.
No, I mean, it's more likely going to be multiple
really
guys.
Right. It's more likely that they're going to clear a spot or clear two spots, or need an aggregate of eight guys to fill these five spots. And this doesn't demonstrably change that equation. It just reduces a veteran and a cost of it, right? Like, they're just going to try to get – the way it's positioned right now is they'll try to get those innings from a $7 million guy or a $700,000 guy.
Right, right.
Not a $12 million guy.
Right. Now, let's – the other way I wanted to tell – I don't know, I guess – I don't know if I'm not trying to really steer the direction. I'm just trying to follow a path here. Does this tell us anything about what they think the market could be in trade for guys like Steven Matz and Miles Mikolas? Because if you're pretty clear that you think you could move one or both of those guys, it would seem like you would be more likely to want to keep Gibson because he's the best of those three.
Yeah, I don't get that sense.
Okay.
You know, I understand, I completely understand why that's a question, fair question, everything like that. I'll just speak from my experience here, is that those kind of things really do tend to manifest at the GM meetings, right?
Right, right,
like,
right.
The whole month of October, in so many ways, you have these teams who are looking internally, things they need to do. That's why you see the moves for all the coaching staffs and front office and stuff like that. You just see a whole lot of just focus internally and assessment internally, because you have this rolling amount of teams that are hitting their off season, including the teams that are the closest to winning a championship this year. And then as the season ends for everybody, that's when you have more interaction between teams and you start seeing things that you didn't think were possible.
Right.
A big example with the Cardinals, right, is Paul Goldschmidt. Mm-hmm. There's no part of October 2018 where they're like, man, we're going to make a run for Paul Goldschmidt.
Good point.
But there was every bit of the first week of November where they're like, well, we got a chance to make a run at Paul Goldschmidt. We're going to do that. So the GM meetings come at a time when that really starts to pick up. You know, part of the audit that the Cardinals have had to do here is how willing, and, you know, we're going to find out more about this, certainly as the players consider, And as they learn about what the options are, which are not all out there yet, if they're willing to waive a no trade clause.
Right.
You know, that's a big part of this. And I would imagine, you know, high on the list of things that John Mozeliak and his staff want to do while at the GM meetings and while they get ready to leave there is, what does the market look like for some of these guys? What does the appetite look like for some of these no trade veterans, Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado, that group, Wilson Contreras? What is the Miles Mikolas? What is their interest or their appetite for being in a trade to these possible options? And then you start ticking it from there to there to there as to who might have interest in Mats. There'll be teams interested in Mats. I mean, I know of a couple that, you know, stand out or at least are wondering about him. And, you know, at his price point and his versatility, there's reason to think that, like, there'd be at least a few teams interested in him.
So broadening it out a little bit, Derek, I've been describing this offseason, which is now underway. It was upcoming until today. It's now officially underway with trades happening
kidding.
In baseball.
Did it ever get underway?
Yeah, not playing around. You know, options being declined and picked up, players being traded. Baseball did not take much of a break between the end of the World Series and the start of the offseason. In fact, took no break whatsoever. But we're now into this, I want people on Twitter, you know how Twitter is, it's tough to sometimes communicate in short bursts and all that. I think that this is the most interesting Cardinals offseason since I've been covering the team, and it's been 18 years. You predate me on that. Do you see it the same way or at least a similar way? And the reason I think it's the most interesting is because it's also the most different. And I don't want anybody listening or anybody who's seeing a tweet or whatever to think by interesting, I mean best offseason or most exciting offseason. I think it's most interesting because it's such a different approach than what we're used to.
I think it's different. I don't think it's the most interesting that I've covered. But of course, again, I might have to just go to the optometrist and get new lenses because I'm still looking at this through. I'm still, it's something that I want to hear more from the Cardinals about and understand, you know, and you just kind of have to shift the dial a little bit because their brand is contending.
Yeah.
You know, and so, they're starting to have a different message and they're starting to sell fans on it, but fans should still have a say in that. And fans want them to contend. They understand going young, but I don't know, you know, so that's a way of saying that, like, it's different for sure. Most interesting, it's going to be hard to surpass that 2011 offseason, 2011, 2012.
Well, that's a good point with Tony retiring and everything, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tony retiring,
Albert
coming off a World
agency.
Series team, Albert, the front office, you know, so many teams were interested in hiring from the Cardinals front office at that time. Cardinals had the World Series trophy and the top-rated farm system. They were in position to make huge trades. They were making an offer of the largest contract they'll ever make to Albert Pujols. And then, of course, he went elsewhere. I mean, and Carlos Beltran showed up as a free agent. I mean, it's hard to think of a more compelling, interesting, or dynamic offseason than that one. A sneaky one is the one that we just talked about with the 2018-2019 when Bryce Harper was going to be a free agent and they traded for Paul Goldschmidt. That was a very intriguing offseason because it set up for the Cardinals to make a significant deal of some type. They just were so well positioned to make a play for a superstar player. It just was, who was it going to be?
Yeah.
And it ended up being Paul Goldschmidt, who then won an MVP. So those two stand out. This is just different. It might be more compelling if you're into team building from scratch. Sure. But if you're into headlines and Dynamo and New Jersey purchases for Christmas, this might not be that intriguing.
No, I'm actually interested in it, probably because I'm a bit more of a nerd than most people, but I think this is necessary. Now I know the money thing, I'm separating the money thing. That's not my concern. It is a concern for the team. My bigger concern when it comes to that will be, you know, okay, fine, if it's short term and eventually here in the short term you get back to being what you were, okay, that's fine. But I view this as a real opportunity to get back to being the World Series contender faster. And I don't think you're going to get back to that the way they were doing things. I don't think you get back to that by putting athletic tape over wounds. I think you have to add a lot more talent to the mix, maybe be opportunistic in a marketplace where free agents are going to be super expensive and 8-year deals, and you can offer teams high-end players, but at much shorter term and at very fair value. And if it's about adding those talents, revamping the farm system, and getting yourself more modernized, that's great. If it ends up mostly being about payroll reduction, then it's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be about payroll reduction.
Well, sure, as a part of it, but if that's the only thing that's accomplished, then it's a failure. If it's that combined with the other things, then I think it's the best way to get you going in the direction where you could be a champion again.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting elements to this. You know, I mean, the TV thing, the broadcasting is on tilt right now. The model's on tilt, and the revenue is about to shrivel there, and they have to plan for that. I thought it was really interesting. You know, John Mozeliak recently spoke with Martin Kilcoyne there on Channel 2.
Yeah.
And he traced it back to 2014 and the tragic death of Oscar Tavares and his girlfriend at the time, there in the automobile accident in the Dominican. And, you know, the decisions made following that, how that ramped up the Cardinals going outside to find the hitter that they thought they had in him. And I think that was a really interesting way to frame it, you know, or to explain it, because the Cardinals haven't really had that centerpiece hitter since Matt Carpenter, really, who was homegrown, right?
Yep.
And that's a long time to go without nourishing the offense with a star. And it becomes a question of how far away are they from that now? Is Jordan Walker that guy? Is J.J. Weatherholt that guy? You know, how far away are they from that now? Because if that's what they're saying they need as a centerpiece to contend, then you can almost set your watch by where they are. And to your point, how far they have to build in the background of payroll cutting.
Derek, you're the best. The music's playing, which means we're getting walked off the stage. We'll catch up soon. Let's go grab a burger and do some hockey. Now that you're an empty nester, I know you got time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, after all these meetings, we got GM meetings, winter meetings.
That's true.
Now the things really start up.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
All right, building off our little conversation, I should say little, it was a long conversation with Derek Gould, because Derek and I cannot have conversations that aren't long conversations. It's damn near impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I joined him on his best podcast in baseball last week. That's where podcasts are everywhere. Reminder, next Monday, starting at noon, and it'll be every day at noon, and you can choose your way of consuming this, but we've got the Gas House Gang going. That's me, Bernie, Matt Pauly, Tom Ackerman, the four of us, sometimes all of us, sometimes two of us, sometimes three of us. It'll be a mix, but every single day at noon, live on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, and on Twitter. You can watch it as a TV show that way. You can get it as a podcast later on when we're done. It'll air live on the radio at 8 o'clock every single night, but we're going to be basically breaking down everything Cardinals every single day. And we'll go beyond that, too. Like, you know, if there's a day where there's not much baseball news or isn't much to get on the Cardinals, yeah, we'll do some college football and some NFL and things like that. But it'll be every day live at noon. The links are everywhere. You can find it on Twitter. It'll be on Twitter at KMOX News. And if you haven't seen any of us tweeting about it, that'll be coming up starting next week. We're getting back into the Halloween spirit coming up after the top of the hour news here on DGS.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.